Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
Welcome to Talking Junk, the podcast that comes to you live every Friday night from Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and now Twitter, formerly Periscope. Sorry for the little mix-up there. Seems like I'm living on Saturdays always. How you doing tonight, Talon?
Oh, you know, just looking for that siesta like yourself, my friend. But, you know, can't complain right now. Dodging, weaving, enjoying every day. Loving every day.
I hear you. Well, let's get right into it. We have a wonderful guest for you guys tonight, Miss Angela Bell. How you doing tonight, Angela?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Good evening.
Good.
Thank you for coming to the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Yes, we're so glad to have you on. Now, let's just dive right in. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Sure thing. So, my name is Angela, as you've said, and I am a life and success coach for moms. Specifically, what I focus on is helping moms get over their limiting beliefs and free themselves of mom guilt so they can get comfortable going after their big goals. I am personally a mom to 6-year-old twins.
Double trouble.
Yes, they are, but they're fantastic. And in my spare time, I enjoy baking and running.
Ooh, what's your specialty?
I really like to make cakes, like fancy decorated ones. I find there's something therapeutic about the decorating.
So like a decadent Black Forest cake with like cherry cordials on top and stuff, right?
Yes, I made, I always do my kid's birthday cake. I did my son a construction cake. So it's like all torn apart with like different candies for rocks and stuff.
Okay. So not just like certain levels of quality, but just creative as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. It's definitely a good way to spend your time and expand your baking skills. It sounds like fun.
It is fun.
So were you always a coach for mothers or a fairy godmother, as I dubbed it before the show?
No, I wasn't actually. So in a previous life, I was a lawyer. I owned a food manufacturing company with my family for 6 years, and a mortgage agent as well.
Wow. Many hats.
Yeah. I like learning new things. So I changed my mind.
So what ultimately tipped the scales and had you move over?
Great question. So when my kids were born, they were 6 weeks early. So, and at the time I was running my family, food manufacturing business, and we were in the middle of building a new plant and it was all exciting and it was really great. And it felt like once my kids came, everybody just kind of expected me to stop and stay home, and just let go of the other stuff. And not that there's anything wrong with moms who choose to stop and stay home and be with their kids, but it felt like it was frowned upon when I was like, no, I'm going to go back to work. I've got stuff. I enjoy it there. And I think a lot of moms can relate to the fact that motherhood, especially at the beginning, is scary and overwhelming, and you feel like you can't do anything right, or you don't know what you're doing. And so the ability to go do something that I knew I was good at kind of helped me, you know, mentally cope with all the changes and stuff. And I was met with a lot of judgment and criticism and shame, you know, oh, who's going to raise your kids? Or, you know, who's with your kids when you're at work? I'm like, funny, their dad, the other parent.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, what hat did you have on?
I was the CEO of my company's food manufacturing business. We were doing about $2.5 million a year in pastry fillings and flavors.
So you had hardly any time if you went back to work.
Well, it's not that I had hardly any time. I had a bunch of people working for me. It's that I had flexible time, so I could go in for half a day, deal with what I needed to deal with, and then come home.
Sounds responsible, and that people really are being nosy, but, you know.
It sounds like life.
It does sound like life, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I think once I came face-to-face with the amount of expectations heaped on top of moms, I was like, no, this isn't okay. And so that's when I decided, you know what, like I did the work myself. I got comfortable with being my own person and not looking outside for validation as to whether or not I was doing a good job. And decided I wanted to help other moms do the same.
Was it a long road to get to where you are now?
It was. Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I think we spend so much time faced with like looking at and comparing ourselves to other people and listening to the judgments and criticisms of other people that it can be really hard to, you know, figure out what it is that we want, who we are, and be comfortable in that and comfortable enough that what they say doesn't matter.
Now, what are some things that you let a new mother know, or maybe even a mother who has been seasoned? What do you let them know to start getting into that swing?
So one thing I always say to new mothers is, honestly, make sure your kids are fed, loved, and reasonably clean. Like reasonably, they don't even have to be spotless. Like reasonably, you
know, as long as they don't have a stench on them, everything.
Yeah, spotless is going to drive you crazy.
And that's just it. And outside of that, nothing else really matters, right? Mostly, your kids need to be loved. And if you're there to love them, they don't need to have matching outfits or, you know, a Pinterest-worthy party or, you know, a clean house. What they need is they need for you to be happy. Because if you're happy, like kids, especially in their first years, they look to mom for so much, right? Like, I mean, that's where they were comfortable. That's what they're familiar with, especially in the first, you know, 4 months after birth. That really, if mom is happy, then that has an impact on the wellness and happiness of the child and how they attach and how they bond together. And that carries forward into life. So really just to start by just, you know, looking after yourself and looking after, you know, the simple stuff, like not the, you know, fancy stuff.
And that's easily forgotten as a parent. You forget about self.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, it can be so hard because you feel pulled in so many different directions, right? I mean, you've got, the doctor telling you, you know, what you should be doing, which, you know, especially the pediatrician, they're the professional, you're looking to them, but then you've got, you know, well-meaning family and friends saying, oh, you should be doing this, or don't pick the baby up too much, or let them cry themselves to sleep, or whatever it is they're telling you. And then you've got social media and you've got, you know, the TV and everything showing you all of this stuff. And when you try to live up to like the external expectations, you're forgotten. Like you just stop existing. And that's one thing I find a lot of moms say is like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm just mom.
Very overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so go ahead.
So in regards to kind of going back slightly, people were criticizing you in regards to going back to your old job. Mm-hmm. How were people, were they supportive when you decided to go into your own thing and start doing the coaching for moms and just kind of apply that knowledge of business to the mom life? Were they as accepting, were they as supportive, or were you met with the same kind of contention from those around you?
If I know that people aren't going to be supportive of me, I just don't talk to them about it. I mean, I think that's part of it is you have to choose who you share your dreams with, right? If you know that you're going to be met with negativity or discouragement, even if it's well-meaning, Like if you have something you want to do for yourself, choose who you're telling it to. So, you know, if I knew that they were going to criticize or doubt what I was trying to do, I just didn't talk to them about it.
Yeah. You gotta create your own peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good drive to have. Not a lot of people realize that if you know what you want to do and you have an idea, just do the idea. Don't be so concerned what other people think, because one, they haven't done it. So you really don't need to be concerned about what they have to say. But two, that's the only thing that's really going to stop you is you letting other people tell you, no, that's not going to work, when you have every reason to believe otherwise and you're willing to work to make it work. That's what really counts. And I think sometimes you can really get lost in that. So kudos to you. That's probably part of you being from having a lawyer background as well. You're able to work with people on a different level that others are not, but kudos to you to keeping that down so that way you can continue to grow and get to where you are now and continue to expand. I imagine as you may want to do, do you want to go beyond what you currently are doing or?
Oh, I have big plans.
Anything awesome. You can divulge to us right now?
Well, I'm working on a couple of different plans to help, to create a sort of incubator to help moms starting their own businesses. I'm putting together like a startup program to work through, the business planning, the mindset.
So you really are a fairy godmother for mothers.
I sure am. Yeah, I think, so to me, moms are such a critical role and it's an often undervalued role. In that, I mean, you look at these moms, right? So, I mean, you've got a wife, a mom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They are negotiators. They are cooks. They are managers. They are party planners. They are nurses. They are educators. They are, you know,
secretaries,
fixers of everything.
Everything.
And they do it somehow with whatever resources are available, day in and day out, with no days off, and, you know, that. Like you think about it, if you were a business owner and you had an employee with all of those skills, wouldn't you be like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Right. And these are the same people that were like, okay, well just, you know, don't worry about it right now. Wait till the kids are grown or, you know, just hold on. And we're not really encouraging them. And I mean, these are people that have messages and they care, they're compassionate and they could be out there doing so much in the world. And we really miss out as a society when we don't provide things like, you know, subsidized daycare or, you know, flexible hours, different things like that for moms, because they have a lot to contribute.
And really, those are the biggest things, because not all mothers can get a job in between school hours.
No.
And with mothers that have infants or people that are not in school at the moment, it's hard for you to go out into the world without having a place for your child.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, you look at the limits on aftercare availability, the charges if you show up more than 5 minutes late, like, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, moms have left the workforce during the pandemic and that's okay. Cause that's really where they wanted to be. And it's like, no, they didn't. Don't say that.
It's almost like society wants to go back into the olden days where women are just homemakers and that's where they should be. You know what I mean? We're reverting back. Yeah, it should be a choice.
Well, and you're missing out on it, like an entire population of greatness, right?
Mm-hmm. They have a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. Some can't even show how much they have to offer.
No, absolutely.
Retire from the current workforce to start their own business and really help everything out in the commerce and everything up. So are you still doing this by yourself? Or do you collaborate with anybody? Or is this still all just a sole proprietorship of fairy godmotherhood?
So I do have some people that I'm working with. You know, I look at kind of what I'm not good at and find people to help me out with that. And then I've got some different people that I collaborate with that can contribute and we can make things happen together. So, but for the most part, it's me.
Now, how different has it been from client one to client 1,000 probably for right now.
You know what? So different. So, like in the beginning, I was like, I just want to help people feel better. Right. Like, I mean, it was all about the mom guilt and the limiting beliefs and, you know, the shame and the expectations and all that. And then over time it was like, okay, well now let's build on that and let's set a goal. Okay. What are we going to achieve? Where do you want to go? What do you?
Yeah. Cause that's kind of a broad field. You want to help people feel better, but how do you make them feel better? What areas do you focus on? You know, some people adhere to things different. So do you take one particular style and try to implement it on another person who may not necessarily need that type of style to learn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So oftentimes, if I'm not a good fit for someone, I'll refer them to someone else. Right. I think that, that's why it's so important to have many different people in like an industry, a niche, any sort of thing like that, because I'm not going to speak to everybody. I'm not going to resonate with everybody, right? My message will land very well with some people and it'll fall flat with others. So knowing other, you know, people that do what I do and maybe do it a little differently is key, because I can say, you know what, my program's not going to work for you, but you know, this person over here, they're going to be great for you. Because ultimately at the end of the day, it's about helping the client. Whether I'm the one helping them or as somebody else, it's about me helping them get to a better place and level up. So, you know, over time, I've started to shift my focus a little more towards the idea of helping moms, you know, start businesses, become financially independent, understand like financial literacy, that sort of thing. Because more often than not, it came up that, you know, they weren't looking after the finances in the house. So, if something were to go wrong, it might not have been a good thing. So, and I think that kind of popped up too, like after my dad passed away, I think 4 years ago, and my mom really didn't know how to, you know, look after some of this stuff because he'd always done it, right? He looked after the mortgage, he got it renewed, he looked after property taxes, insurance, all that stuff. And I was like, oh, that's gotta be like an old time thing. And then the more people I was talking to, I'm like, oh my God, it's not an old time thing. It's a current thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to incorporate more of this and just talking about, you know, finances and investing and financial literacy too. And then it kind of developed into business development as well.
Oh, sorry. I was pulling up your page here.
Which
one? The one.
That's a wonderful skill to be offering up to people, because financial literacy is heavily devoid in general in people. So to help it help with mothers who need it the most, especially if they're being and working, to help them be able to figure that out to where it works for their situation is definitely a wonderful skill to be passing on.
Thank you.
And here is your website. My internet is a little choppy today. I apologize. I'm usually pretty fast with this thing.
Ooh,
there we go.
Big picture of me.
You deserve to live your best mom life. Now, do you do remote consultations, or does it have to be in person?
No, it's all remote to be honest. Not only because that's how the last year and a half has been, but also it allows me to reach more people. It allows me to be more flexible, work in different time zones, you know, connect with people whenever and wherever it works for them.
I'm going to need to get the name of your photographer. I'm going to need some shots of Talon like that.
Oh my gosh, he's so good. I was like, these are miracles. This is amazing.
I agree. We do need some shots of me like that for the show. Just studious, the typical Talon look.
Now, when you first got into it and started taking on clients, did you have any skeptics? Not just from your circle, but from clients? Like, how are you going to teach me how to feel comfortable? You know what I mean? How are you going to show me how to be a better mother? Maybe like know-it-all people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about making people feel better about life, you run smack dab into all of their limiting beliefs. You run into all of the conditioning, the years of conditioning, the years of stories that they've not only heard, but told themselves and adopted like very, very deeply. So, the first response is often, well, how are you going to do that? Like, this is the way it's always been. This is the way it's always going to be. I'm just going to feel this way forever. And it's like, I get it. I've been there too.
Generational curses.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It takes time. And you can't rush it because people have to process at their own pace. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it really comes down to with the mindset and the limiting beliefs part, it's not so much about teaching as it is about listening and asking the right questions and helping them like really kind of look at things that maybe they haven't looked at before. Like, why do I believe that I'm never going to make money? Why do I believe that, you know, I'm not a good mom? Why do I believe that I'm always going to be stuck in this situation? Because these are things that just play on autopilot in the backs of our minds, right? We're not even.
And it ultimately keeps you in that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
So go ahead, Talon. I apologize.
No problem. So you're like helping to connect life skill values that mothers may or may not be actually connecting to what they're doing to help them get out of that kind of cycle of insanity going on where it's like, I don't think you kind of come up and then you come back down, you come back up, you come back down. You don't know how you're going to get out of it. It sounds like you're trying to give women and mothers the tools to do so without necessarily telling them what to do and more or less saying, look, I understand what you're going through. I'm not telling you this is how you should raise your child or you should do your life. But with these tools, where you tell them, I know about these tools. It's not that I'm telling you this is how you should be a mother. This is how you should use these tools. And these tools will help you be a mother and help your own situation out. Is that how I'm kind of understanding your relationship with your clients there?
Yeah. So I'm never going to tell somebody how to parent their child. I'm also never going to tell them.
Although we know some of you mothers need to be taught.
But I'm also never going to tell somebody how to feel about their life. I'm going to help them decide, like ask the right questions to say, do I want to feel better? And if so, how can I do that? And then work with them so that they can learn the tools to do the deep diving and the self-discovery, not just with me, but long afterward, because, it's not like a one and done kind of thing. You don't just flick a switch and magically you don't have negative thoughts anymore and you love yourself and it's glorious.
If only it was that easy.
Yeah, but it's about, you know, helping them decide for themselves what are their values, what are their core values, how do they want to raise their children, and how can they feel good about it and shut everything else out, right? And know that when somebody's like, oh, you really shouldn't do that, they can just go, okay, thanks, right? Like, you don't have to fight with people about it when they're offering unsolicited advice, but when you're comfortable with who you are and what you're doing, you can just kind of nod and smile. It's my favorite one. Nod and smile and say, okay, thank you.
Yeah, just kill them with kindness.
Yeah, and then moving on. Like, so.
You are irrelevant, sir.
It's really a valuable tool to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. To be able to shun somebody off. Now, do you have any success stories maybe you could share with us?
I do. So I had a client who, when we first started working together, she was really unhappy would probably be her way of describing it. In that, you know, she felt she was stretched in a million different directions, that she was, you know, just every day was on repeat. You know, it's a race to the finish and you know you have to get up in the morning and do it all over again. Mm-hmm. And you know, she never felt like she was really connecting with her kids through the day. It was like she was just there, right? Just there to
She was on autopilot.
Yeah. And every day was the same. She's like, I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. I was like, I get it. So what do you want? What do you want to do instead? Well, I don't know. Okay. So we have to do the work to figure out how do you want it to look, which can be hard when you don't think there's different out there. It's like, okay, what small changes can we look at making? You know, what if you made some time for yourself during the day? Well, I can't make time for myself during the day. Okay. What if you made 15 minutes, right? 15 minutes. And I'm a big proponent of the power of 15 minutes. I wrote my first book in 15 minutes a day. It took me a year, but
wow,
15 minutes a day, focused effort. There's like, you can do that.
Some exactly. books people have never finished. So you got one up on them.
Yeah. It's not a page turner, but I did it. And that is what's important. And I was like, 15 minutes, you can do that. Because most people think of making time for themselves. They're like, I've got to carve out an hour and it's overwhelming. How are you going to do that? But 15 minutes. We're like, okay, we agreed on that. We agreed on a goal, figured out how to carve out the 15 minutes by getting some time clarity and looking at the you know, have to do's versus the want to do's and where time is being used and wasted. And then figured out a neat trick of using a timer, right? Like just a regular old egg timer, because kids recognize that and they can patiently wait for a timer because they know you're going to be reminded to stop and pay attention. So if you're like, okay, the timer is going to go off and mommy's going to stop and she's going to come do what you want her to do. It's magic. They actually, they go because they're not relying on you to remember anymore. And then you can do it because you don't have to worry about how much time are you losing. And so she actually implemented these things and she started finding, you know, 15 minutes for herself every day. And within 3 months, she'd achieved her first goal. And then she felt better and she was ready to start working on other things. And honestly, near the, like, by the time we were done working together, she was feeling a lot better and she was happy and she was reconnected with her kids, like actually spending quality time, not just quantity time.
Yeah, which counts. And there's a big difference between the two.
100%.
Now, have you had any fathers get involved?
No. Because I don't feel like I have a place speaking to that experience. So I think that, you know, fathers have struggles too. I will never say that they don't, but I personally can't speak.
Well, no, I don't mean involved as a client. I mean, maybe involved in one of your clients, maybe the steps or something to help them cope with their day. Is there anything that you had a father do to help their spouse?
No, if anything, the only time I've ever addressed anything with a spouse would just be working on, you know, how to communicate needs. Because a lot of times moms, they either figure it's fine, I'll do it myself, or they expect somebody to read their mind, right? And I know from my personal experience with my husband, if I don't say it, he doesn't know. Right? He's not a mind reader. He reminds me of that all the time when I expect him to just know. And so,
yeah.
You know, it's
we get that a lot.
Like communicating the need and saying, I need help. I need time. I need this done, right? Like this is how you can support me. Because in my experience, oftentimes, at least with the, you know, people I've worked with, dads want to help, right? They want to help. They want to support. They just don't know how all the time, right? Because moms kind of keep busy and move around like a little mini hurricane getting stuff done. And they're like, okay, well, just tell me how to help. And so often it'll be about just communicating a need and getting comfortable.
Right. Yeah. You're right, VPXM. We are caught daydreaming majority of the time. And not what you guys think we're daydreaming about either. It's the stupidest shit. Could you give any advice to our viewers that may be feeling overwhelmed at their own house at the moment?
So if you're feeling overwhelmed, It is often because you're thinking about all of the things, right? So overwhelm comes from thinking about everything that has to be done in the future right now. And so the best thing to do is to take time and just get it out of your head. Like, I know for me, I carry a notebook with me everywhere so that when I think about something, I can write it down. Because once you get those thoughts out of your head, it's no longer an open loop in your brain, just going around and around and around, reminding you, hey, remember this? Hey, remember this? You've written it down. And then break things down into manageable chunks. Like, don't think about cleaning the whole kitchen. Think about, you know, cleaning this area. Or don't think about, you know, getting an entire project done. Think about taking the first step. So I always find getting things, and I always recommend to my clients, getting things out of our heads and onto paper and, you know, chunking things down into manageable tasks. And then it can help to go through. One thing I do recommend is going through your schedule, and doing an exercise I call schedule clarity, which is like literally just get like a sheet of paper and write out, you know, the 7 days and the hours you're awake and put in the things you have to do, right? So whether it's get up, get everybody ready for school, make breakfast, you know, get the kids on the bus, get them ready to, you know, or drive them to school, walk them to school, go to work, you know, dance class, whatever happens, the have to do's, not, you know, like the, oh, I really want to, you know, walk around the garden. But have to do's include things like, if you really love to do yoga, put your have to do yoga in there, that sort of thing. Because when you put your have to do's down on a piece of paper, you will actually notice how much space there is between have to do's that often gets used up with things like scrolling on social media, mm-hmm. You know, sitting and thinking about all the things that have to be done without actually doing anything. And when you can physically see that time in front of you, then you can start to understand that it exists. And you can start to use it versus like just hoping to find time throughout the day. It, you know, things expand and contract based on how much time is made available. So if you can actually find windows by getting very clear about it, then you can see that you do have time for things. I'm a visual person, so for me, getting things down on paper in front of me really helps.
So for the visual, what about the non-visual people? Because I know for myself, mm-hmm. I can't keep a piece of paper to save my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I will lose.
Unfortunately, there's no hope for you, Jay.
There isn't. My desk at my job is.
Is your house on fire?
Oh, my house isn't on fire.
No, I'm sorry. I live across from UPS and somebody was backing up. That was my fault.
Okay. For a second there, I thought Angela forgot she was baking something.
No.
Cake.
That totally threw off my train of thought. I forgot.
You're non-visual. What happened?
Yes.
Paper.
Well, I'm very visual. I'm very hands-on also. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like keeping things in order, I am the worst person. The worst. I can't. My desk at my job is filled with paperwork. It's a mess. So I wouldn't be able to keep either a book or a single sheet of paper somewhere to get my schedule down. Is there something else for people with no hope like me that you can suggest?
Setting alarms. Like pre-setting alarms in your phone.
Later, VP.
Like for reminders, right? So that works well if you are someone who tends to get like lost in activities or, you know, forgets about things. So just setting alarms in your phone to help you, you know, stay within a certain time frame of getting some things done.
Yeah, that might help because any little thing just like that beeping going on is like, ooh, squirrel.
The other thing too can be like scheduling your days of the week around themes. So, I mean, if you're a business owner, let's say, you know, have Mondays be networking day, Tuesdays be sales and marketing day, Wednesdays be accounting and finance or something like that, so that going into the day, you know, kind of the general idea of what's coming up that day, mm-hmm. because you know that you're going to schedule things based on the themes.
So it's almost like a color coordinating your socks to know what you're going to wear the next day. I get it. What was the name of that first book you said you wrote?
Oh, 10 Things You Need to Know About Small Business Bankruptcy.
Oh, all right. So not just about moms, it's about everything else.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Is there anything that you would want to touch on in closing? Anything you got for the viewers that you can give them? Any little gems you can throw at them?
Yeah, I think one would be, if you find yourself feeling bad about yourself, take a break from social media. If you find that you feel bad about life or you feel bad about your current situation, stop looking at social media.
That's very good advice. Very good advice. Because I have double the pages because of the podcast and mm-hmm. personal, and it just gets hectic sometimes. Sometimes you need that time out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if a specific person's, you know, post, if you find them triggering because they're showing something you wish you had, pause them, snooze them. Like, you don't have to look at everything.
Yep. Yeah. Block them.
Block them and follow them. Don't use the application. Like, there's more to life than our phones. Absolutely. I don't know if people remember that, but.
But also doing what you need to do for your mental well-being, right? Like, you don't need to be on top of the news.
Mm-hmm. Right. And most of it is just, it just makes you emotional anyway. Either angry or sad for something. It's bananas.
And it's okay that you have chosen different choices than other people. Like, I think the biggest thing I find is comparison, whether it's because from social media or whether it's because you're making different life choices and you're comparing yourself to others. You know, get clear on your values. Have faith in yourself and don't compare yourself to others.
See, that's something a lot of this generation lacks nowadays is good values.
Yeah, they do. Common sense, very, good very values. But.
Oh, yeah. Now, would you be interested in coming on another podcast that we do and maybe just focusing on maybe answering questions from young mothers or mothers that are having trouble in their day-to-day life? Would you be interested in something like that?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, any way I can help, I'm happy to do it.
That sounds great. So awesome. I'll be sure to have my secretary, i.e. me, get in contact with you, and we'll set it up. But sounds, we do want to thank you very much for coming on the show. It has been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. It was really great to meet and talk to you guys. Thank you.
Trust me, the pleasure was all ours. And we will keep in touch and try to make that happen. It's called The Break Room, and we do it on Saturday nights, which you can, if you're not busy, and you can get your little 15 minutes in. We go a little longer than 15 minutes, but we go live every Saturday night. Tomorrow night, we'll be live in The Break Room, and we will be talking about adolescent sexual behavior. Is pop culture to blame?
Good topic.
We try. We try to set the bar every week. Yeah.
We've had a number of shows where it was not deep and we were just kind of talking. So we got to kind of make some good episodes.
We tend to get off track a little bit.
It's all good.
Yeah, but it's the break room. It's the siesta room, you know? So you got to relax, but things flow. But we'd love to have you in there. It's a good time.
Great. Yes, we would.
It's us plus a few more people, including his lovely wife, Jasmine.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. So thank you again for coming on. Junkers, thank you guys for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow night, like I said, and next week also. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Periscope. However, it is now fully Twitter. Or if you don't have time to catch us live or don't want to see our ugly mugs, we are on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to yours. Have a good night, everybody.
Night. Thank you.
See you.
Welcome to Talking.